Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Dave Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Minor Junkie. Now, Dave, let's talk big picture then. When it comes to the precious metals market, and balance that out with the other markets that we are watching and that, quite frankly, investors are still interested in, precious metals have been on a nice run, especially just over the last, let's say, 10 trading days, not even that many. And then you can even go back to kind of mid-September, late September, right at the end of Q3, when the market for the precious metals really looks like it's bottomed. We're also in this environment where the other markets, or U.S. equity markets, those are also moving higher. So there does seem to be this general liquidity in the markets that now isn't just only focused on risk on assets, but hey, everything seems to be moving higher. And this is also in the face of a Fed taper that has started this month. What's your takeaway from this environment that we're in here, Dave, when it comes to those people holding precious metal stocks and now finally over the last about month and a half seeing those stocks move higher?
Well, I think, you know, with the news headlines screaming inflation after the CPI number came out, you know, you already had four straight months of 5% CPI. And then when 6.2% people saw that, it's like, okay, wait a minute. I mean, I know our little group have not been convinced that inflation's transitory, but the world was still believing in the Fed's transitory argument. I think that's gone by the wayside now. And I think that's a big reason. It was the main catalyst for gold to finally get over that 1835, 1840 level and break out pretty strongly above that area. This financial system, the way it is right now, is not going to last too much longer. Some sort of big, huge change is coming down the pike. You know, they have to do something with all this debt. I mean, they can't continue to try to solve a sovereign debt crisis by creating more debt. And that's what they're going to try to do here with the Fed. And that's the switch that came on a few weeks ago when the Fed basically came out and said, look, you know, we are going to taper, but, you know, don't worry, we're not going to raise rates anytime soon. They basically can't. This isn't transitory. We're losing faith in this institution. And even more favorable for the gold price here in the near term, if President Biden ends up replacing Jerome Powell, his term is up in February, with the only Democrat on the 7-member Board of Governors at the Fed, Lael Brainard. If she gets elected to the Fed, which would be kind of a surprise, I think in the betting circles, Jerome Powell has a 65% chance of being reelected. But if he does do that, I think that would give a boost to the gold price. And there's also another 3 to 4 more governor's slots that are becoming available, which the Biden administration can replace with dovish Democrats. So I think to tip the Fed scales in their favor more dovishly, I think the market's going to realize that's going to be bullish for the gold price as well. So the number I'm looking at on the gold price now is a monthly close above 1900. So we've got a few more weeks of the month here. The gold price has gotten short-term overbought. We got an options expiration coming up here at the end of the week. So I wouldn't be surprised if the gold price comes down to test that 1835, 1840 breakout before going higher again. But I do expect it to continue going higher.
Yeah, Dave, it does seem like even the general markets have woken up to the fact that this inflation is going to stick around longer than people expected. Even if parts of it are transitory and supply chain related, there's parts that are clearly not, and it's here to stay. And if we do get that dovish Fed lineup, or even just more dovishness from them along the way, I think most people have woken up to that. We've seen the dollar rising, which has been a little bit counterintuitive when you think about inflation. You would think about the dollar weakening, but it's gotten stronger on euro weakness while gold has risen. What do you think will happen as we move closer to that $1,900 level in gold? Do you think that a persistent strong dollar could pressure it more here? And do you think that might give it a little challenge to get through that $1,900 barrier?
Yeah, that's another interesting outlook there that I mentioned in my article, on my weekly Kitco article last week, about especially the silver price going up in the face of a strong dollar reaching a 16-month high. And what happened 16 months ago? The gold price topped out at almost $2,100. So the gold price and the silver price going up with the dollar here, which the dollar has also become extreme overbought on a daily basis and a weekly basis. So It's going to be interesting to see what the gold and the silver price will do once the dollar corrects its move here, which it looks like to me it's about to happen. But if you take a look at the shares, that's where this bottom to become a significant bottom out of this 4-month head and shoulders, intraday head and shoulders reversal. You know, we've got a 4-month neckline at just right around 34 on the GDX, and it's got a bullish island reversal on it. So where you had a gap down to create the left shoulder and then a gap up after the right shoulder was created on the inverse head and shoulders bottom. So that looks very bullish as well. And you take a look at a lot of these juniors, they've got, and miners, they've got the same inverse head and shoulders bottom pattern on their chart, and they're starting to break out one by one. You see a day like today where the GDXJ is finally correcting after becoming extreme overbought, but a lot of these higher risk juniors are popping. You know, they're up 5, 10, 15%. So this is investors going down the food chain and saying, okay, it looks like we've got a long-term bottom here in the GDXJ, which is still the barometer for the juniors, even though it doesn't have quite that many juniors in it. So the GDXJ, I've been telling my subscribers for the past few months that once the GDXJ has a weekly close above 47, you're going to see the higher risk juniors outperforming here, even though the GDXJ is correcting on a day like today. But you take a look at the miners, and they're yawning at what's going on today. You know, they're pretty much flagging, and there's a lot of juniors that are just popping one by one still. I mean, my portfolio, which is all juniors, is down less than 0.5% today.
And do you think that they could just correct through time versus price then? Because, you know, since they were overbought, those readings cool back off just by trending sideways?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I see weakness being bought, you know, and I see in the past during this entire correction, when you saw the GDX, the GDXJ getting hit, the juniors were getting hit harder. Now that things are short-term extreme overbought, you're seeing a lot of these juniors that did not join in on the move higher, they're starting to pop one by one. Okay, what hasn't popped yet? That's a good company. When you see a major bottom in this sector, which I think is forming here, when it takes place during tax loss season, that's when you see things like that. When you see something that's gone down, you know, 50, 60, 75% in this bearish, just falling wedge after such a huge move 16 months ago, and you see a big, huge volume spike and maybe an intraday reversal, that's the last tax loss seller of size getting out. It's going to go up from there. There's so many charts look like that. As far as I'm concerned, my hard work is done. You know, now it's just sit back and try to figure out when to take some profit.
So, Dave, you're absolutely right. We have seen a nice little funnel down of money to some of the smaller exploration companies and even some of more of the marginal plays. But I do have to ask you, with all this optimism that you're seeing, when do you think GDX or gold or silver will get back to those August highs of just last year? Because right now, GDX is about 30, just over 30% away from those highs. Gold's only about 11 to 12% away from those highs. Silver, a bit more than that away from those highs. Are we going to see a breakout to, let's say, new highs just in the last 3 years sometime soon?
Yeah, I believe we will. I mean, we're seeing that the GDX is sitting at strong resistance at 35. It's backing off from there after becoming extreme overbought at a strong resistance level. And the GDXJ is doing the same when it got near 48, 49. So this is a natural pullback and a healthy pullback because they both became extreme overbought on a daily basis. And also the GDXJ ran up to its upper weekly Bollinger band. The GDX did not quite make it there, but they're both sitting at their 100-week moving averages right now. And also, the gold price reached 1875, which is a resistance level this morning, and backed off from there. So, you know, extreme overbought on a daily basis in gold and the GDX and the GDXJ working off some of that extreme overbought by trading, you know, down to sideways here. But I think the key is that 1900 level now. A close above 1900 would be bullish. A monthly close would be even more bullish. And a quarterly close above 1900 would be extremely bullish. So I'm really looking at that 1900 level now. And I think there's a really good chance that we can surpass it here in the month of November.
Yeah, that would be great just because there's so many longer term charts, both the monthly and the quarterlies, that need to close above that $1,900 level of resistance. And after that, we've still got other levels to clear to get up to that all-time high, like the 1921 prior peak from 2011, the 1962 area. There's still a couple other areas. But one question I've got, Dave, is last year, when we saw the move up in gold to those levels, most of the mining stocks, from the majors all the way down to the little ones, never got close to the valuations they had back in 2010 and 2011 when we saw that big run in the last cycle. And when silver ran up to $29, almost $30, we didn't see them get anywhere close to where they were valued the last time that silver was in the mid-20s to 30s. So after this long consolidation, do you think this time up in the metals, we actually may see more traction and more outperformance from the miners as they claw their way higher?
I do. I think a lot of that pertains to the fact of what these major mining companies were doing back at the top of the market in 2010 and 2011. What they were doing is they were going out, and the market was wanting ounces at that time at any cost, right? We need to add ounces. Look, the gold price is going ballistic. It's making all-time highs. Investors were demanding more ounces, and these mining companies made the fatal mistake of grabbing more ounces at any price, and that meant large bulk tonnage projects that were low grade just to get ounces on the books. And they did it by dilution with their shares. So that's a big reason why the GDX and the GDXJ are trading so much lower than they were, even though the gold price is at the same price it was back in 2010 and 2011. A lot of it is dilution and poor mistakes made by the management teams of these companies. But on the positive side, they've learned from all those mistakes. They've shored up their balance sheets. They have very healthy balance sheets. They got gobs of cash. They're making gobs of money here with all-in sustaining costs averaging about $1,065. So it's just a matter of time now until the generalist investor starts to realize that the stock market is ridiculously overvalued and we got to rotate some of those profits into the mining sector. And that's already taken place. Smart money's already doing that. Dumb money's nowhere near doing that. So I think that's the key. Once the stock market finally begins to roll over in earnest, that we've all been anticipating because we just keep seeing it climb higher and higher and higher. I think that'll be another big catalyst for money to come back into this sector.
Yeah, that really brings up the ultimate question is what will bring generalists back into this sector? Because back in 2010 and 2011, there were commercials for gold and silver. There were sign shakers out on the streets saying,
exactly,
come in and buy our gold. You know, we'll buy your gold. And that was the generalist investors being part of the narrative after that big, great financial crisis in 2008, 2009 really got people rattled. And this time around, even if we see a move above $1,900 in gold and above $30 in silver, it's still not captivating the generalist investors. But we were talking off mic that for the first time in what it seems like a long time, even the generalist mainstream media, financial media, is waking up to this inflation narrative that the Fed may actually have a problem on their hands next year as they hike rates. What do you think it'll actually take, though, to get generalist investors, the dumb money, as you called it, into this sector where there's a little bit more of a mania? I mean, it'd be nice to see a gradual creep higher where we just build value in these miners. But what will it take to get the same kind of enthusiasm that we're seeing in some of these other hot sectors into this space?
I think more fear of their profits disappearing in general equities and then transferring that to fear of missing out in the gold price as it goes back above $2,000 an ounce.
And you noted in your discussion here that you've seen some of the money start coming in, the smart money, into the larger companies, maybe the royalty companies, things like that. But we are starting to see a little bit of life, even in the tinier juniors. Do you take that as a constructive sign that people are moving down the food chain?
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. And that has been taking place. And it's been taking place even more now that the GDX made a weekly close above 47. And it's testing that area again this morning after clearing it. GDXJ got up to 48.25. So, it became extreme overbought on a daily basis. And it also was kissing its upper weekly Bollinger Band. So it is yet to climb above that. And the weekly upper weekly Bollinger Band is flattened out now. And I think it's going to start to curl higher here because like, you know, Doc and some others of your guests on the show were saying that those weekly Bollinger Bands really tightened in the gold price, and we were expecting a move in either direction, a large move in either direction, and it has been up. So I continue to believe that it will continue to go in that direction based on two factors. You know, you've got the technical breakout, which has gotten the attention of momentum traders to this sector again, and you've got the fundamental macroeconomic backdrop of the average investor losing faith in the Fed's mantra that inflation is transitory and it's going to start coming back down. I mean, I don't know, the last time I went to a restaurant and the prices actually went down on the menu, I don't remember that ever happening. You know, once these prices are high, they stay high. And then if when the inflation continues, they get raised. I mean, I live in California here and I'm seeing gas, you know, a gallon of gas over $5 a gallon. And in some places in California, it's even over $8 a gallon. So I don't see gas prices coming down anytime soon. I know that the oil price has gotten pretty far pretty fast and it's due for some consolidating, but I don't see it going down very much anytime soon.
Yeah, it's a great point, Dave. We'll wrap it up there. They love to raise the prices on those menus or at those gas pumps, but it's very difficult for them to bring down those prices once they get them up there. So always great to get your thoughts. Always great to get some of the levels you're watching in the metals and the mining stocks. And we appreciate you sharing some time with us here on the KE Report. If people are interested in David's work, definitely check out juniorminerjunkie.com. We'll put a link to that down below. And thanks again for sharing your thoughts with us here at the KE Report.
Thank you, Chad. Always a pleasure.